Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Okay, Megan, so I think we would be remiss not to discuss the elephant in the room, coronavirus.
I'm sorry, what?
She is faking her cough. Nobody panic, especially me and Sarah in the room with her.
But what I am worried about is the housewives. Who's protecting the housewives right now?
It's so true. I mean, we're just waiting for our first like celebrity case or something. I mean, basically, at the end of the day, everyone wash your hands. Be responsible. Like, I feel like there's moments where I want to panic and then moments where I'm like, everything's going to be fine.
No, I think that my new mindset is I'm going to get it, but I'm going to survive it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
If I tell myself that, I think that I feel like I'm in more control.
Totally.
My immune system is I don't mean to brag, but it's pretty amazing.
Well, what I keep telling, because, you know, my mom is watching the news and she's panicking and she'll text me and, you know, my dad is not one to be like an alarmist about this kind of stuff, but he is obsessed already with washing his hands and he's kind of a germaphobe. And my mom is, you know, she works in the medical field, so she's very used to things being clean also. But I'm always like, Mom, we live in New York. Like, we ride the subway. I'm touching that all the time. You know, our immune systems are a little bit superior, I would like to think.
Yeah.
So we're going to be fine. Knock on wood. All right, well, what are we talking about today, Bravo? Because let's get there and detach from the scary reality.
Sure. Well, we have Vanderpump Rules because it is the
pre-wedding.
Or rehearsal dinner.
Pre-wedding celebration, yep.
Yeah, there's a lot actually going. Oh, my God, you know what I just thought of?
What?
They have so many wedding events. It's sort of like the Leanne Locken wedding palooza.
Right,
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, you have the bachelor, the bachelorette, but then you have your onesie party, and then you have your
thing.
Yeah, there's just a lot of things.
Yeah, now we're at the castle, and it's like there's still a party the night before.
We have the welcome drinks event. Yeah, right. A lot.
Yeah, a lot going on there.
So then we also have Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion part two, which I can't wait to get into, and this insane episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh boy. We're heading to Greece.
Yeah.
Plus, you interviewed Eva Marcel from Real Housewives of Atlanta and Vishal Parvani from Family Karma.
Yes.
And of course, we'll end with Rose and Thorne.
So, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Woo!
To begin with.
Yeah.
I just loved all of the behind-the-scenes info Teresa gave us about the Super Bowl commercial with her and Caroline.
Well, so many people were like, how did this happen and how did they not kill each other during the filming of this?
And I just love how Jersey Caroline is. Of course, these people are, they are who they are on and off camera. But like, she's just so Jersey that she'd be like, we need to have a conversation before we do
right.
this. And then like, so it's a three-way conversation with Teresa, her lawyer, and then Caroline. And Caroline's like, when we see each other, we're gonna talk.
And Teresa's like, no.
And then it just, I think, all exploded into arguing.
Right.
So we got on the phone three-way, and then we start talking, and then we get into it.
You did?
Yeah.
You
that's, did? She's wait, like, what? This is what she said. When we see each other, we are gonna sit down and talk.
Oh, that's.
And I'm like, excuse me?
I mean, it's not surprising, because I think the conclusion when Andy discusses it with Teresa at the reunion is that the two of them will never be friends. Like,
right.
They're not going to work through their issues. At the end of the day, they just do not like each other. But I like that they were able to be professional. And Teresa was like, yeah, I needed the money. Like, hello, it's a Super Bowl commercial. I'm going to take that hummus money.
Yeah.
Come on.
So crazy.
Well, then we get into a lot of the beginning of the season, there were the whole cheating rumors. So that kind of comes up. Andy brings that up.
Oh, like, did Teresa have this boy toy situation?
Yeah, not the Joe cheating rumors so much as the Teresa ones that sort of started the season off. It was a rocky start with, like, Jackie and Teresa because of the things Jackie was saying. What I thought was craziest about that was how Joe's brother was the one to address the cheating rumors with Gia.
So how did your kids react to the cheating rumors?
They didn't even know about it. Because my kids don't look on the internet, but Gia found out from my brother-in-law.
Okay.
Which I fucking ripped him a new asshole for it.
Wow, Joe's brother, Pete?
Yes. Like, if you have something to say, you call me.
Okay, so I read Teresa's latest book, The Standing Strong, one that she wrote when she got out of prison. And she said that Joe's family kind of hates her now and they blame her for everything. And so I guess it, on one hand, doesn't surprise me that Joe's brother would do that. But on the other hand, that's pretty sick. That you would want to put that in your niece's head.
Well, especially because at that point she was probably 17.
Yeah.
Like underage. She's not even adult. So to go to her for that is just inappropriate because of her age. And what is she supposed to say? Like, what do you expect out of that situation? And the other thing is, too, I honestly, and I think even Margaret or somebody said it during the reunion, that they were kind of rooting for Teresa and sort of hoping that she did have this boy toy. And I think when I heard about those rumors too, I kind of did also. Like, I kind of felt like, you know what? After everything Teresa's been through, yeah, she deserves to get laid by some hot young dude.
Yeah.
At this point.
I think my feelings on it are mixed, and it's not because I don't think she deserves to find happiness with someone else. I just think it's, as we've discussed before, when people make it seem like their relationship is perfect, then it's like the deceit of it almost is what feels like a betrayal.
Yeah.
Like Jessica Simpson. Ooh. I feel like she made the world believe that she and Nick were perfect, and I loved watching Newlyweds. So then when she was like, I'm leaving him, I was just like, oh, liar.
Right. Well, and then the tell-all now. So, I mean, I guess you get the backstory there. But, no, I know what you mean. I mean, I think it's just, I'm also surprised that Teresa has not had sex with anyone at all this whole time. Really?
Yeah. But maybe when you go so long without it, you just get used to it.
I guess so. I hope we never know
I
that
hope
kind
we
of suffering.
Never know that kind of suffering. My God. Do you think if we got stuck on a deserted island that we would be like, you know what? Neither of us really wants this, but I think we need it.
I think for sure. I think knowing both of our personality types, absolutely.
Just close your eyes.
Maybe we'd have to procreate. I don't know. Maybe we have to like take over the island. It's like,
oh my God, our kids would be so cute.
They'd be so cute.
They'd have the bluest eyes.
Oh my God. Or we'd end up like really screwed and they'd be like the ugliest kid. They'd get all the wrong genes from both of us. I don't know. I don't know. Another thing that came up at this reunion that was like bizarre in a sense was Teresa saying that she wanted to have potentially another baby.
Eileen from Bismarck said, Teresa, you said before Adriana, you and Joe did in vitro to try for a boy. Now that you're not with Joe, would you try again with a new man?
Yes.
You would?
I would love to have a little boy.
Wow.
I would.
Okay.
Yeah. What is with these women?
I don't know. I didn't expect that from Teresa because I think she has her hands full right now.
Yes. But I guess because they are all sort of growing up and...
Yeah.
I guess I can understand with a new relationship, if you've already had children with someone, you want to experience that all over again with someone else. I don't know.
Well,
I can't relate.
I think my fantasy for Teresa would be that she would meet a nice Jewish man who already had a son.
Yes.
And then there you go. It's like a Brady Bunch situation.
I just can't imagine how Teresa would be dealing with an ex-wife.
That's true.
Yeah. Talk about table flipping.
Imagine being the ex-wife and knowing that your ex is now dating Teresa.
Crazy.
Yikes. But going off that point about Teresa talking about having the baby, Jennifer backs her up on that.
I can't with Jennifer. Right? I think she's so ridiculous. Oh, it's not real when Melissa says it. It's real when Teresa says it. Or it's not even like, fine, you can think that Melissa was... Whatever.
Yeah.
You can think that.
Sure.
It's more so the how dare you do that. There are women suffering with IVF complications all over the world and you're making a mockery. Is she?
Right.
How?
Yeah.
I don't. It's so stupid.
Well, the thing about Jennifer is she's so stubborn that she won't even backtrack on what she's already said to be like, oh, you're right. I shouldn't have said that. She will just stand firm and be like, well, it's different with Teresa and Melissa because she's not as self-absorbed as Melissa. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. It feels like Jennifer is aligning herself with Teresa.
Yeah.
And we talked about it last week with the whole friendship with Danielle, and whoever makes Teresa laugh is automatically her friend. So I think Jennifer is capitalizing on that. And she's almost like, I don't want to say Teresa's minion, but like in a sense, I feel like she is trying to play that role a bit. Another thing that came up during the reunion when the men were out there was many of the women, particularly one whole couch, Teresa, Dolores, Jennifer, claim that they don't like their husbands to go down on them.
That was sad for me, but I just can't imagine.
I can't imagine.
Because if you've had good head, you would never say that.
Well, I feel like, too, with that particular couch and just knowing that the way that they are and a little more conservative and reserved in many ways, they're a little bit more traditional. Maybe they're just not admitting it. Like, I feel like they must enjoy it, but they're just not admitting it.
That makes me sad, too.
Because I just, the way that Margaret and Melissa, not so much Jackie, because we know her situation with Evan, like, the way that they react is so authentic. They're like, oh, my God, like, I feel sorry for you. Like, you don't know what you're missing. Like, they just can't wrap their head around it.
So this came up at Watch What Happens Live. I remember when Lala was on and Andy said, and I think it had come up in Vanderpump Rules, but if you had to give up one, oral sex or cheese, which would you give up for the rest of your life?
I'd have to give up cheese.
Me too.
There's dairy alternatives.
Lala said oral. She'd give up oral.
What?
I know. That surprised me, right?
I don't think Rand would, though.
Yeah, so, like, no.
We know about that arrangement, Lala. Yeah. She's spoken very openly about that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Would you give up cheese? You'd give up cheese.
For sure. First of all, there's nothing but benefits giving up cheese.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
it's
true.
Delicious, but like, you're going to look amazing.
Right. Something to think about. The whole kids party situation, I feel like, is this season and show's puppy gate. Like, it won't go away.
Right.
And
it's so stupid.
It's so stupid. I have Taylor Armstrong enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
enough.
I just don't care. Everyone should do what they want to do. Throw whatever kind of parties you want and be done with it. Jennifer's not going to change. She's not going to stop throwing the lavish parties that she does. I don't think Jackie's ever going to change.
No.
She's going to do whatever her kids ask for. And if next year they ask for some big carnival-themed party with a Ferris wheel, she'll probably get one because she can afford it.
Right.
Which that whole thing comes up again, and everyone's mad at Melissa for what she was saying, but they were being so nitpicky about it. I'm just like, let's let it go.
Let it go.
Jackie's
Who
rich.
Cares?
We know it.
Yeah. And by the way, don't bring your kids to the party. If you feel like it's such a bad, shitty party, like, just don't bring your kids to it.
I think the one thing, too, though, that's messing everything up is the expectation that Jennifer's kids have now of attending other parties. So it's sort of like they're going somewhere expecting some big event with a moon bounce and all of these things, and it's kind of like, that's not every party you're going to go to.
And also, that's good preparation for life then. Not right. Everyone has what you have, and you're going to go to some places and you're going to realize how lucky you are.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, that being said, I would love to attend any one of Jennifer's kids' birthday parties.
But I also love pizza, so I'd be down to go to Jackie's. I just don't want to play basketball.
No, I don't want to do that.
We'd be like Jennifer's daughter who's just like, can I go inside? Right?
I want to go in the air conditioning. Well, next week we get what we've just truly been waiting for.
Well, Danielle, yes, but particularly her making demands
that are not met. That point that she was filming, she had quit the show. So, no, you don't get seats.
Yeah, you're
going to
try to tell Andy where you're sitting?
Right.
Dream on.
No.
We'll see.
But I can't wait.
I got the chance to sit down with Real Housewives of Atlanta's Eva Marcel. She talks about her predictions for who will be in the hot seat at the reunion, what it was like seeing Tyra Banks on Watch What Happens Live, and she gives us the insider details on why she thinks NeNe Leakes didn't appear much at the beginning of the season. Plus, she gives us an update on who is currently housing the infamous re-gifted baby doll. Here's that interview. Welcome to the podcast, Eva. Nice
Thank
to have you.
You
again.
Nice to be here.
Okay, so you've been on Real Housewives pregnant and you've been not pregnant. Which do you prefer?
Well, I've been pregnant, secretly pregnant, and right post-pregnancy. So, you know, both of them have their pros and cons. Mm-hmm. You know, being pregnant, I think you get a little less heat. I think the women are a lot more sensitive to a pregnant woman, especially now that everyone has basically had a child. And even Marlo is parenting of some sort. And then the other part of it is like you can't pregame. And right. So you're going into the same situations, but you're too sober for the situation, or I'm too sober. So you kind of get both. And then sometimes you're glad you missed something because it was crazy. But then other times you can't go places because you're pregnant.
Yeah.
So then you're sad you can't go, like Greece. I missed Greece. I was too far along in my pregnancy. Way too many complications. And yeah, I missed the Greece trip.
That has to be hard.
It is.
Yeah. But I mean, you got a cute baby out of it.
A beautiful baby. He's healthy. I'm healthy. And life is good. So, yeah.
Your children are ridiculously beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Are you going to have like 10 more?
No. Lord, no. After, listen, I always said I wanted 5, right? Well, I said I wanted none. And then I met the man of my dreams and I said I wanted 5. But now after having a lot of complications with my last pregnancy, I'm not super eager to like jump in and find out that it's positive on the stick.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
How did you get your body back after the baby? Is it
prayer? Prayer works. you know, I've been told a long time ago that a muscle memory is real. And if you have good muscle memory and work out and have a healthy regimen before pregnancy, then you're prone to kind of a snapback. But I work at it. It's definitely harder as I get older. 35 is different than 29 being pregnant. But yeah, it's just the beautiful thing is that my husband loves me however I am.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel the pressure like at home, you know, it's more so my own postpartum stuff, like wanting to fit back in those jeans. Like if I fit in those jeans, then life is good again. So it's more of those kind of, you know, benchmarks that I give myself. But, you know, it is what it is. If you don't snap back, it's okay.
Well, and I know a date has been set for the reunion.
Yes.
So do you feel like a kind of encouragement to
eat sushi
hard
instead of cheeseburgers? Absolutely. I had sashimi for lunch. Yeah, the reunion is less than a month away. I hear some people are coming for me, but I am looking forward to the reunion to say my piece and look fabulous in my white dress.
Who do you want to say your piece to the
most? Oh, I would love to clear the air and get back into a better space with Portia, for sure. Her and I are definitely not where I would want us to be at all. I think she's a great person. We've definitely bumped heads as of late and have not really hashed it out. So the reunion will genuinely be the first time we get a chance to. Well, I mean, she has my phone number, so she could definitely call. But beyond that, I think that'll be the first time we hash it out.
Yeah. Who do you think's coming for you?
Portia.
Yeah. If you had to have chosen one of the housewives to help deliver your baby, had that day you gone into labor, who would it have been?
Oh, that's a hard one. Well, Cynthia, because that's my girl. That's my ace. But Cynthia, I think, might kind of like clam up or freak out a little bit. And then I think like Kenya would be really, really, really good and focused, but she might scare me a little bit. So I think I would go with Candy because Candy doesn't lose at anything. Like, this would be the most successful baby delivery ever. Candy's going to do it, like, in record time. And so, Candy. And then I will have Kenya and Cynthia help her, like, after and weigh the baby and stuff.
Okay, good answer. I think that fans watching this season have a lot of questions in terms of Nene's participation in the group. What was happening behind the scenes that maybe we didn't see?
Well, you know what? I think the fans don't realize there are things that happen behind the scenes that we don't even see. And unless you're like really close friends with or are privy to what's going on, you don't really know. And so Nene, you know, coming in this season, especially after last season's reunion, her relationships with the most of us were fractured.
Yeah.
And so we really didn't know, like, if Nene was filming, if Nene wasn't filming, because I haven't been hanging out with Nene in months, and neither was the other girl and the other girl next to her. So we don't really know, just because we weren't super tight-knit at that time to tell us what's going on. I know that Greg was still battling his cancer, and that happened a little bit more in the season. Don't exactly know where that is now, but I definitely would like to believe that some of it has to do with her own family stuff, you know? But yeah. I don't know. I didn't hear anything about, like, Nene's supposed to be leaving or phasing out or anything like that. As far as I was concerned, Nene was brought up every episode. Every time I was with the girls, Nene's name came up. So I don't know anything about her not being around.
I know that it's come up before. Like, I'm particularly thinking about early seasons of Real Housewives of New York. Mm-hmm. And it came out that people were campaigning others to not film with Bethany.
Oh.
Was anyone ever asking or encouraging you amongst the
group? To not film with? No, that's a personal reason. So, like, the way it goes, and you know you hear the word scene in production, and the reality is you could not get the footage without a production, right? So that's essentially what they do. But all they're doing is recording your life. Like, when I went to court for my child's name change, I told them I had a court date. They brought their cameras. And then I said I wanted to celebrate it and invite a few of the girls. And so I did. And so they are just kind of following what we give them. Yeah. They don't tell us, like, you have to film with such and such. You know, even for Nene's party, for the animal print party, she reached out to me personally. But had she not reached out to me personally, I don't know if I would have went, because we weren't talking, so it didn't make sense for me to go to your lunch, which you're obviously paying for. I'm not coming to lunch and paying, so I assume you're paying for it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So there is definitely the need for real and genuine friendships. You know, you can't kick me in the ass and then expect me to sit and have lunch. Like, why are we at lunch?
Yeah.
So it's not about a campaign event shooting against someone. It's like, are you guys in a space where you would want to sit one-on-one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That lunch was a mess just because it was like you had to leave, then Kenya left, and there was a whole thing about people being late. Who's the worst about time in the group?
Well, the biggest offender is the biggest complainer. It's Nene. Nene is, like, notoriously late to everything, but Nene also is the biggest complainer about people's punctuality. So it's pretty amazing. And I would like to say the most punctual person in the group is me. And
really?
Then Cynthia next, and then Candy third.
Okay.
Yes. Good to be early is to be on time, and to be on time is to be late.
Okay.
Showbiz.
Yes. Where currently is the doll that you gave to Kenya?
Kenya Moore, where is this doll? The last time I checked, Portia had it. However, Portia and I are not where I would like us to be in our friendship. Right. So Lord knows where this doll is, and it might be in a dog's mouth. I have absolutely no idea. But I gifted it with good intentions.
Yeah. What is going through your mind watching the relationships on the show? Like, you and your husband, you guys seem like you're in such a great place.
Oh, the romance, yeah. You know, it's kind of difficult to watch the relationships that aren't really working out right now. Early on in the season with Portia and Dennis, that was very difficult. Portia's my girl, and Dennis is our guy. That's my husband's friend. That's my friend. And so to kind of see that play out on TV sucked. And in social media. And then to see what's going on with Kenya and Mark, more so because I'm just getting to know Kenya. So this isn't anything that I knew. And then while shooting, I didn't know. Like, we went to a charity event, and then the next day we found out that, like, there were issues. I had no clue. Mm. When we were bowling, I thought they were the perfect couple. So it's really sad, because a lot of this we're learning while we watch it also, you know? So I find myself, like, wanting to text and not knowing what to say. And, like, you know, it sucks. But I do commend them for being brave enough and bold enough to be transparent in their truth and however it looks.
Things are also getting heavier between Cynthia and Mike, just because learning more about each other now that they're engaged. What do you think about them as a couple?
Oh, my God. I love Cynthia and Mike. Like, if I could put a couple together, it would have been them. They are amazing for each other. I think their journey thus far in life have brought them exactly where they're supposed to be. And no one's life is perfect. No man or woman is perfect. We all sin, and we might sin differently. But I think that Mike loves Cynthia to the core. who she really is, Cynthia, the niece, not like this beautiful 50 Cent model, but like the person she is. And same thing for Cynthia. Cynthia is as solid as they come, and she's thorough. And them together, they have the rest of this beautiful life and the next to live together. And I root for them.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
What was it like to be on Watch What Happens Live with Tyra Banks?
Oh my God. Listen, Tyra Lynn Banks, to sit next to Tyra there and just kind of like for a second, think back 16 years ago. And then a picture, like Andy threw a picture up and I saw like young me. I knew nothing. I didn't even know what I didn't know. And Tyra, like this young, beautiful mogul changing lives. And she didn't even know what she was doing at the time. Like, I think she knew what she wanted to do, but I don't think she knew how impactful her presence was and what she did and that show would be. Like, she literally started and launched my career and gave me the tools that I needed to sustain a career, to look back 16 years later and still, you know, barely 35 and chugging along. I rock with Tyra, and seeing her last night was just everything. It was everything. She was my age when we started. You know what I mean? And to see, it was everything.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's such a thrill for her to see where you are?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If there's anything besides from my parents and my God, I hope that I do Tyra proud.
Oh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She put a lot into us, and I don't think that the people that have been on the show collectively give her her just due. Mm. I don't think Tyra had an obligation to create any star, but she gave us an opportunity that no other person would have gave. And for that alone, I thank her. And, you know, from that, I figured out how to figure it out. But even in that, she gave us the tools. And just looking at her, she's so diligent. Tyra can stop working. She has enough passive income. But she's just always reinventing, always changing, and staying fierce, promoting beauty, proud and black, and every, this, she, I live for her.
Yeah.
I live for her.
As a model, what do you think about the various models we see sort of popping up as, you know, children of Real Housewives?
Oh my God. You mean the Hadids and stuff? Amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. I think Yolanda's kids are drop dead gorgeous, made for this business. And then isn't Lisa Rinna's daughter a model also?
Both of them.
Yeah. Beautiful kids. I think they're made for the business. And I mean, if you're going to have any parent to help guide you through this wicked, crazy business, at least have us, because we're crazy and we recognize crazy. So yeah, I think they're great. Who else's kids are models in the business?
Those are the two I'm thinking of the most. You know, I know Cynthia's daughter did a little bit with her.
Noelle, let me tell you, Noelle Robinson is so gorgeous. And she can do her own makeup. She is effortless. Like, she doesn't need zillion-dollar outfits. Her skin is perfect. She is such a beautiful girl. And sometimes you have to look quick on Instagram because you think Cynthia was Noelle and Noelle was Cynthia, because Cynthia is not a human and she doesn't age. It's very weird. It's sorcery.
Since your children are so cute, what if they wanted to be in the industry?
No. For my kids to be in the business, it'll require a level of commitment from me and from my husband. And we're not doing that. I'm committed to raising them to be dignified human beings and well-educated human beings and being nice and kind. And there's not enough time in a day to instill all of that. So I definitely don't have time to go to Go-See's and explain to them why there's nothing wrong with their nose or their hair texture or all the other things that modeling picks apart. No. Mm. No. At Noelle's age, sure. At, like, you know, 18 years old, you're in college. You know what I mean? For sure. You got a driver's license, you can go. But if I have to take you, no. Because I can't unring certain bells, and I can't try to pick up a spirit that a casting director can crush for a child. You know what I mean? I can't do it. Not my kid. I go crazy.
We mentioned before the reunion, do you have your dress yet?
Yes.
Can you?
We got our dress, and we submitted her early, honey, because she is one color, and I don't know what all these girls are going to try to pull out, but I did not want to look up and realize that my dress was already snatched. So, yes, she'll be fabulous. She'll be snatched, yiked, and ready post-baby.
Can't wait to see him.
Thank you so much. This
Thank
great.
You.
What do you think of when you hear the word citrus?
Is it orange slices for your midday snack or a lemon wedge in your water at your favorite restaurant?
Yes and yes. But another thing that citrus brings to mind is sharing, because citrus was literally made to be shared, and no one knows that better than Sunkist.
Sunkist grows the type of citrus you can't wait to peel or add to your favorite recipe that was just missing that one thing.
And with over 40 citrus varieties, you'll never run out of things to share or people to share them with.
Like all your friends coming over for the Real Housewives premiere or your workout class or your next big pregame. There's a citrus cocktail, mocktail, dinner, and dessert for all of it.
However you share and whoever you share with, Sunkist will be there to make it a whole lot sweeter.
Learn about all 40 of Sunkist's delicious citrus varieties like Caracara oranges, Mineola Tangelos, blood oranges, and more at sunkist.com.
Sunkist, share what's real. Do you feel like there's something that's blocking you from being truly happy or preventing you from achieving your goals?
With over 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists in all 50 states, BetterHelp Online Counseling is here for you.
Users can connect with counselors in a safe, private, and convenient online setting.
You no longer have to worry about meeting with a counselor in person. With 4 available communication modes, text, chat, phone, and video, you'll be able to make appointments through your desktop, laptop, and cell phone.
Go at your own time and pace while speaking to licensed counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, grief, and more. Anything you say is confidential.
If you're not happy with your selected counselor at any time, you can request a new one for no additional charge.
Best of all, it's a truly affordable option. Daily Dish listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code DISH. That's D-I-S-H.
So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/dish.
Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/dish.
Ugh, Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I felt so many things watching this episode.
Absolutely.
Like, Mark just really comes off as such a bad person.
I mean, he totally blindsided Kenya. I don't think she had any real preparation in being able to respond to him going to the press. Like, it seems like he went to the press to announce the separation before anything else.
It really reminded me of, like, a high school relationship. Because it's like, you have a child with this person, but you're going to go tell the whole school before you tell them that you're breaking up with. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I went to sleep. My publicist calls me. What's going on? I'm like, what do you mean what's going on? Well, I just got a phone call that you and Mark are separating and he's going to make a statement later today.
So after he made a statement, then you made a statement? You made your statement.
He forced my hand with that.
But it was also disturbing hearing the way Candy described the night of the charity event. And when she said, we'll just say it got really bad in that car.
I know.
And then Kenya kind of goes into it, got to the point where the Uber driver was like, you need to get out.
Right. I mean, if the Uber driver is intervening, like, that's not a good sign.
No.
The thing about Kenya is, no matter what she does or how she treats people or what, like, there is something about her that I feel protective over, and I don't know why. Like, I am always rooting for her, no matter how terrible she can be to other people. And watching her go through this and talk about that night with Mark and how aggressive he was getting and how nervous she was being that close to him in the car, and then thinking back of, like, her ex Matt, who was, like, smashing her garage windows, yeah, and he was, like, acting crazy too. I'm just like, she has been through so much just to try to get a happy, healthy relationship and a happy, healthy life with a child and all that. It's just like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she does deserve a break in all of this. But, you know, we had Nene on the podcast, or I interviewed Nene not too long ago. That interview will be coming up soon. And she almost implied that it was like this relationship was almost Kenya's, like, karma, you know?
What does that even mean, though? That in terms of relationships, I don't think she doing anything bad.
No, I think in her relationship, she's more Ken than Kenya,
yeah,
particularly in this one. And she's trying to do her best at least from what we see on the show or we've seen this season, because it's really all we do know of her relationship. But I think Nene and other people's point is just that, especially getting involved in Tanya and Paul and the cookie lady situation.
Yeah, that was not okay.
You know, getting involved in somebody else's relationship is going to maybe come back to you in a negative way. And I mean, if karma's real, karma is a bitch, and she came back for Kenya.
The other thing that just makes Mark sound like a terrible person is how he wouldn't stop talking to this woman who was like, I know you're married, but if we could just have sex.
Right.
I look around and I see these text messages, whatever. One of the women was begging him to keep the sex going, even though that he was married.
Are you serious?
Yes. That woman, he still communicates with after I told him, this is inappropriate.
What are these texts?
Can you imagine getting the phone call from Kenya where it's like, you should probably take me off speakerphone. This is Mrs. Mark Daly. Like,
absolutely
my
not.
God, I'd be shivering.
I mean, she's one of the only people in this world that I truly would never want to be on her bad side. Like, never.
Ever.
But also, what I was confused about is the timing of those texts. Like, I don't know if that was recent. Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, you know, that's true. We don't know.
We don't exactly know
when
that was.
But I think it speaks to his character.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
No matter when it happened, she told him to stop and he didn't.
It's just, I don't know. Everything just seemed to be a little rocky from the start, just them not living together and everything. But it just came to such a crazy head over the course of this season and these last couple of episodes. And it's just like, damn. But, you know, I mean, what we're seeing of Mark, it does seem like in the long run, Kenya walking away, especially for her daughter's sake, is probably the best thing that she could do.
Yeah. I'm happy that she decided to go on the Greece trip.
I know, because I don't know if I would have.
Right. Especially because, like, she made a good point. These women hate me.
Yeah.
They are rooting for my, you know, downfall. Why would I want to go right now?
The only people that she really can trust at this point are Candy and Cynthia.
Yeah.
Everyone else on the trip could very easily bring up the divorce, which I think Nene did tastefully and respectfully. And thank goodness she did, because I think if Marlo had been given the opportunity, she would have brought it up in a much messier way.
Well, okay. So I was going to ask you, do you think someone's tragedy is a good time to make amends with someone? Because, you know, this terrible thing has happened to Kenya. And so for Nene to say, like, hey, I want to talk to you, is it opportunistic or is it a good thing?
I think it's a little bit of both, because I think Nene is putting in work right now to try to make amends with not only Kenya, but get back on everyone's good graces. And I do think she was being sincere about it, because she did see Kenya was in a rough place. And I think she really genuinely did want to try to connect with her in that moment. And for whatever reason, Kenya was not ready. And then immediately Nene shut down, which maybe that was an overreaction too. But I also don't really blame Nene for then shutting down and being like, I'm not going to get ready when she's ready. Like, I tried to make peace. It was a little awkward the way Cynthia was like, I would like these two to stay back. Like, I don't think that moment was necessarily called for, but I did appreciate that Nene was the one to not even try to get the tea, like, oh, what happened? Like, I heard about the divorce. She was like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, her question was just about Kenya's well-being in that moment, and that let Kenya open up, and she then didn't even say anything about Nene. She kind of called out everyone else by name, and, you know, it was just, like, too bad, I think.
Nene goes too low also, because then she's like, fuck Kenya and her bad skin.
Right.
It's like, Jesus!
Kenya, be clear. Kenya and her bad skin, okay?
And then to be, like, walking down the stairs, well, I'm going to call my husband because I got to keep my marriage together.
I wrote that down as, like, my favorite line, so I can keep my marriage together, honey. I mean, I think Nene felt burned, and, you know, when I did interview Nene, she was saying, I'm not one to easily apologize. And I'm not going to be one to sit here and do it over and over and really try to get it out of you. She was like, I'm going to do it once and I'm going to hope that you can receive it. And if you don't, then that's that. That's on you. And so I kind of see that perspective, like how much is Nene going to have to do to try to break through to get to Kenya? But also to your point about like, is tragedy the right time? Maybe not that night. Maybe like see how the rest of the trip goes. And at that point, Nene can maybe take Kenya aside and have a conversation. But I don't think that's the way the rest of this trip is going to go.
What did you think about the way they chose rooms?
I like when they gamify.
I do too.
Those moments. And I feel like they're very good about doing that on Married to Medicine. You know, like I've seen that happen a few times on a bunch of our different shows. And it's the only way to kind of make it fair.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Candy is always like demanding the nicest room. And it's like, well, you can't have it every time, Candy. Right. So I like that they made it a game. I like that Portia did not even finish listening to what you got if you jumped into the pool. She was like on her feet and in the water before they even finished what that would be. So I did appreciate that. But yeah, nobody wanted that room with like the concrete wall.
Yeah.
Ugh. Who ended up getting that room? Was it Tanya?
Marlo? Oh, no, it was Tanya.
It would never be Marlo. Marlo would book a hotel room before any of that. Where's she going to put all of her stuff?
It's true. I also got the chance to talk to Family Karma's Vishal Parvani. He reviews his short-lived history in the acting world. He gives us his predictions on Brian and Monica's relationship and talks about why a show about Indian Americans is so important right now. Plus, he talks about his favorite Bravo celebrity, who just so happens to be mine as well. Let's take a listen. Good morning, Vishal.
Good morning.
I feel like this is your first time on the Bravo Daily Dish podcast, and you rolled in like a kid off of Vanderpump Rules, like straight off of a Toronto bachelor party.
Yes, and recovering. So don't mind the bloodshot eyes, but
so you are the Jax Taylor of your show.
I am not the Jax Taylor of the show, but I do love Jax Taylor. You know, he's like an asshole that owns it. And I wish I could be more of an asshole sometimes and own it, but I'm not. But my fiance, Richa, is an asshole and probably could. But like asshole in a good way. Like she could put Jax in his place.
Wow. And so that's why you like Jax, because he reminds you maybe.
Yeah, like some of it reminds me of my fiance.
Yeah. Hopefully that's so not weird. All of it.
Jax, you remind me of my fiance.
Okay. I feel like everyone and their mother thinks that they should have a show on Bravo. Like people, when they're out with their friends, they're like, oh my God, if they were filming this would be a great show. You and your friends actually now have a show on Bravo.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, have you met my family? They are super, super entertaining. But, you know, I'm super glad to be a part of this show and to highlight the Indian culture and my amazing friends and family. And we're the first American docuseries featuring an all-Indian cast. Fucking amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. Have you already gotten, like, excitement from the community maybe about it?
You know, word travels so fast in the Indian community. It's word of mouth. You don't even need any like marketing. You just tell one Indian auntie, though, like you have 20% of the population that's going to know about it in like 1 week.
Okay. Can you please spread the word that they should listen to the podcast?
I will. Okay. As long as one knows, everyone knows.
Great. I want to know more about your history in the acting world.
The history, the short-lived history.
Those little clips.
Do you like those clips?
Oh, I love them.
Should I speak in that voice? That very sexy.
Yeah.
Very sexy voice. Right? I tried my acting out very bad, but I failed miserably at it. Maybe I can give it another shot. Like in early like 2010, 11, I had dreams to be an actor, and I moved to L.A. for 2 years. I gave it a shot. I did a couple of commercials here and there. I went back to Miami and I tried giving it a shot over there, but I went into the family business and for the past 8 years I've been working with my mom / boss and love it.
Love it.
Yeah, well, mostly.
I mean, mostly. That's gotta be very hard.
I know. It's like imagine having a mom at work
who's
also a boss.
I am also a fan of your future mother-in-law.
That makes one of us. Kidding. I'm kidding, Rich. I'm kidding. I love her. I love her. I love her.
I feel like she is a real housewife in the making, like in terms of the drama she brings.
And that's just, that's how she is.
Like, yeah.
She says something, it might be her opinion, but it's a fact in her eyes and it should be a fact for everyone else. That's how much she believes in what she says. Even if I don't agree with her always, I yeah. have to, I try my best to make her happy.
Do you think her watching this season of the show will make her like you more or less?
Oh, I wish I could answer that properly. I hope all my actions always make her happier, but I fuck up a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like it's also in the interview bites that get people in trouble too.
Yeah. I know. I wish I could take back some things I said, but you know what? I said everything I said, and like Jax and my fiance, I'm gonna own it.
Okay, so what's the status of your wedding plans right now?
You basically have to watch and tune in what's gonna happen, because if our families don't approve of us, there is no wedding.
Yeah.
So definitely have to watch.
So the bachelor party you were just at was not yours?
No. But I was like, it was one of my best buddies, so kind of acted like I was.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Not, I didn't do anything bad, Richa.
I want to know what filming was like when it first started for you guys. Like, because I always have talked to people in production, and they're like, the first day is a wash. Like, everyone is so unnatural. Like, they don't know what they're doing.
Well, if this is, like, in regards to, like, the cameras being around.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, they do a good job of trying to not make themselves the main focal point. And, yeah, the first day or two, yeah, you're going to be aware of them. But they're almost around you, I would say, like, 24/7 that... So soon in the process, you just start living your life and forgetting they're there. Honestly, they do a good job of not being the focal point, and you just, since they're around so much, you just live your life.
Yeah, I love how you guys interacted with them in the premiere, though, because we don't always see that. But like, you know, the here, try this food.
Yeah,
or,
right?
Yeah, are you single? Why?
It's a very Indian thing to make everyone around you feel. At home.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like a very hospitable culture.
So I feel like after watching the premiere, I am rooting for Monica.
Me?
that went without saying. I'm rooting for Monica and Brian's relationship. Did you ever see that as more than a friendship?
No, I never did. I was always team like, if you want her, you gotta pursue her.
And, yeah.
You know, my opinion, I don't think there was 100% there. Hmm.
Do you see it, though, differently, watching it through the eyes of the viewers?
I know what I do in my relationship and the amount of effort I put into it. Mm. So the expectations from me to see another guy trying to pursue a girl, you have to be putting a lot of effort in. I'm not easily impressed, is what I'm going to say. I'm not easily impressed.
Got it. All right. He's got to step up his game.
Everyone's got to step up their game, including me. Especially.
So as you were saying, like, it's amazing, this show. The insight that you guys are giving to us into Indian culture, like, do you think that it's a good time for a show like this to be here?
You know, I wish it happened a lot earlier than it did. Like growing up, I never saw Indians in mainstream media. And you know, just watching any minority group on screen, it definitely affects how, you know, the outside world sees that group, along with how groups in that culture view themselves as well. So growing up, I never saw any famous Indian Americans that I could relate to, or seeing anyone on screen that I can just like, I guess, emulate. So it's super exciting to be the first all Indian American cast docuseries. So I'm happy to see the direction we're going, and I'm happy to be a part of it right now and opening doors and hopefully clearing some of those misconceptions that are there, you know?
Yeah. What do you hope people take away once they've watched this show?
I hope just see our culture and see how, honestly, I hope it clears a lot of the misconceptions, and I hope they see that a lot of the aspects in our culture, they're not just about Indian Americans. It relates to, I would say, any other family or culture in America. So yeah, you're going to see a lot of aspects that transcend just, you know, Indian Americans.
Yes. Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning, despite your hangover.
Oh, I know. I need eye drops.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Vanderpump Rules.
The wedding bells are ringing. Okay, almost. Do wedding bells ring?
Yes.
Okay, so would you be more of a Stassi at this murder mystery event, or would you be more of a Lala?
It really depends on my mood, to tell you the truth. Sometimes, like, I really like to get into things, especially a game where I can win. Like, I can be very competitive, but sometimes I'm like, this is so cheesy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think you would honestly be Stassi.
I might.
I think as soon as there was the element of competition,
yeah,
you would, like, take it on. And I would be like, Lala. I'd be like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to talk to anyone. And then I'd, like, make a guess, and it would probably be right. And I'd
right.
be like, no. And you'd be like, damn it.
Come on.
But I did like that component, and I would like to think that maybe Brittany did do that, you know, as a little, like, nod to Stassi. Like, you used to fuck my future husband. Like, I'm going to give you a little something
here's
for the
prize.
Wedding.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I thought that was really, really fun.
Yeah.
What did you think about Kristen's, like, breakdown with Bo?
So it's like, I'm still your boy, but it's just different. I'm a different guy. Because I'm growing in a relationship, and she is my world. That's my mate. That's my number one. I still love my friends, but she is literally all I care about right now. I'm literally
that's
just
all
trying.
You care of?
It is.
Okay, here was what confused me. I always got the impression that Kristen and Bo were friends, and, you know, they had been in this movie together, and, like, she set Stassi up with him, but I never got the impression that they were best friends.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how she made it seem, like, come on, Bo, like, you were my friend, like, what happened? And it's just like, whoa.
This is, I think, the second or third time just this season that we've seen Kristen get, like, a little too drunk, perhaps, and say things that maybe are poorly timed.
So, you know, I interviewed James recently. Interview is forthcoming, but he was kind of like, it's hard watching her this season.
Yeah.
Like, she's a mess.
Yeah. It's hard watching her because she is a mess, but it's also like, who is her support right now? Just Carter, it seems. And he's not the one that should be her support.
But at the same time, I don't know.
But also, what
both sides. Like, it's not fair to make yourself everyone else's problem.
Well, and also to try to be like, Bo, why is Stassi your number one priority and your friends aren't anymore? Like, that seems a little too self-serving. Like, it's Kristen trying to get Bo's attention again because maybe he hasn't been giving it to her as much. But it's like, hello, he's number one. We know at this point he's probably planning a proposal.
Yeah.
And he's trying to let Brittany and Jax have their moment, but that is also forthcoming.
Yeah.
And it's just like you said, it can't be everybody else's problem. Like, your problem can't be everybody else's. So, you know, it's the night before Jax and Brittany's wedding. Don't come for Bo in this moment.
I will say the one thing that, like, I totally side with Stassi on is how Kristen tries to get close to Stassi's mom.
Like,
and I don't think I don't think it's necessarily her scheming and plotting, but Stassi and her mom's relationship is not a solid one.
Yeah.
And so, like, how dare you talk to my mom? You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. I wish we got a little bit more camera time with Stassi's mom.
Oh, I love
during
Stassi's
this episode
mom.
Because last season, I mean, she delivered for us. So I wanted a little bit of that.
Like, but part of me almost wonders if Stassi was like, I swear to God, Mom, if I see you put a mic pack on.
Right. What do you think about Schwartz and Katie not having a marriage license?
Doesn't it just go to show how silly and futile getting married is.
I guess so.
As a married person, I think I can say that. Like, it just, yeah, what's the difference?
Well, what would you have said if Aaron told you, like, 3 years after you guys got married, like, he never filed, he lost the license?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I think I would definitely laugh at it because it doesn't take away that we've basically been married. You know, it's,
yeah.
Like, what's the difference?
Right. Well, I just wonder, like, do they file their taxes together? Like, do you need a license to prove that?
The part of it that I'm curious about.
I mean, LVP was furious. Like, she was so pissed. Yeah. Where I thought she was maybe too far upset about it.
Are you f***ing kidding me? All that effort I put into writing those vows. You are never too old to hold hands. And it's important that you say I love you at least once a day. Support each other when difficult decisions must be made. And respect each other and each other's opinions. And they're not even married. I put more effort into them getting married than they did.
I also was kind of like, just on principle, you should probably try to figure that out. Just from a legal perspective, it's probably better to have that than to not.
If you care.
But it's also just very on brand for Schwartz to be
I don't know. Right?
It's like it was in the trunk and then I didn't see
like
it.
Like the one thing he was supposed to take care of.
Right.
Also, didn't we sort of know Lisa was going to show up?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I mean, thank goodness it worked out that way.
Yeah.
But can you imagine? I mean, it wouldn't be the same without her there.
No. She needed to be there.
Yeah. Can we talk about the newbies? I mean, this whole wedding, like them going back and forth, the whole Dana and Max situation. Now, I do not believe Max for 1 second that that woman wearing the pride shirt is a completely innocent, no, nothing happened.
I agree.
We went out for smoothies because we were at the same workout class or whatever his excuse is.
Yeah.
No, this is classic fuckboy behavior. I think Dana will see through it. And I actually know that she will.
Oh.
Because I interviewed Dana, and she has some shit to say about this situation. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't believe him. I've come around to be full team Dana. Yeah, I mean, I think she's just caught up in this, like, thing.
In the fairy tale of it all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like she genuinely does like Max, and maybe she's going to start to see him for what he really is by the end of the season, if that is the case, but... Until then, he's wearing a cat poop necklace and he deserves it.
At least every time I see him at Tom Tom hitting on every girl and her mom, he'll be wearing a poo necklace. And I just feel better about that.
Don't even say that to me.
Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
Okay, so my rose was from Real Housewives of Atlanta. And it's when they're having dinner in Greece and Marlo is looking at the table setting, and she's like, oh, this is gorgeous how it spins around.
This is gorgeous how it spins around.
A lazy Susan?
Right.
Like, and she just acted like it was the most genius, like, elegant thing she'd ever seen.
Well, it's also, I feel like the fact that it spins doesn't make it gorgeous. Like, the display makes it gorgeous. The fact that it spins makes it convenient.
Yes, how convenient would be inappropriate.
Like, I love that capability. Yes. I think that's fair.
What's your rose?
My rose was from Vanderpump Rules, and it was Bo somehow making his way outside to the Pride event. And, like, dancing on the street with whatever choreography they were teaching. Like, it was just so classic Bo for him to be caught just, like, out there doing some choreography, like, in the middle of a gay pride event.
Oh. I love him.
I know. I mean, I think more and more every episode, I just, like, fall in love a little bit more. What was your thorn?
All right. Well, I mean, it's not that the moment was a thorn. I'm not one who wants to be seen crying in the office. And I have to say, I started crying when Jax got his father's urn with the ashes.
Yeah.
And, like, talked about how he puts it in the car and takes it for a drive. Because it was, like, a little bit like, oh, that's kind of weird. But then it's also just the way he says it. It's like, that is so, I don't know, precious to him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just made me very emotional.
It's how he keeps that connection going.
Yeah.
I like to go on Sunday cruises with my dad. I like to take him out and put him in the front seat with me. I like to go in the backyard and I take him with me by this tree. Ah, get emotional. I like to do that stuff. So yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
I mean, it was a kind of poignant moment, because when you think of that he's doing that and that his mom isn't at the wedding, yeah, like it is kind of tragic when you take a step back and really look at his situation. So that moment too was just kind of dark, but in, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. What was your thorn?
My thorn was the fallout that came from Paulina, Shaws of Sunset, going to lunch with Nima. Mm-hmm. Because I appreciated what she was trying to do, but I didn't like that she went behind Mike's back, yeah, to confront him. I understand what her mentality was in talking, yeah, to Nima and being like, I just want to understand why you were saying this, like why you guys are fighting, why my name came up. And I think if she had brought Mike to the lunch, it would have felt more like an attack, and I don't think that's what she wanted. But then when she tells Mike on the way to this like group event, the cooking class, you can see like visibly that he is pissed,
yeah,
that she did that.
Well, he was always weird about Jessica filming too, I felt.
Yeah.
Like he wouldn't let her come out to the reunion even though everyone wanted her to. So I don't know. Like there's definitely an element of that. And it also just bothered me that she let him yell at Nima. How can you be mad at Nima?
Yeah.
How?
Right. Well, then as soon as they get there and then the conversation comes up and then they start talking, then they're fighting. It just, I think the situation, she was trying to sort of calm it down by going to lunch with Nima and understand it more. And then it just ended up kind of blowing up in everyone's face.
Yeah.
Next week, we have Vanderpump Rules James Kennedy and Real Housewives of Atlanta's Marlo Hampton. This season of Shaws of Sunset is hotter than a California summer.
I am dreading this upcoming friendship-ending fight between MJ and Reza.
Remember all the good times they've had? Like when Reza was MJ's man of honor at her wedding, or when they acted together in Reza's play?
He was there for her when she wanted to spread her father's ashes, and they always had each other's backs during arguments within the friend group. They even booked an appointment together to get down there bleached.
So many memories.
Relive all the ups and downs in MJ and Reza's friendship from Shaws of Sunset by downloading the Bravo app.
All 7 seasons of the show are currently available, and new episodes from season 8 are ready to stream every week.
But that's not all. The Bravo app is your place to watch current seasons of all Bravo shows, as well as binge shows from the very beginning.
Did someone say Southern Charm?
That's right. All seasons of Southern Charm, Summer House, and Below Deck Mediterranean are currently available, plus vintage series like Ladies of London, The Rachel Zoe Project, Gallery Girls, and so much more.
All you need to do is download the Bravo app and log in with your cable provider.
Happy binging. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays.
You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.